Have you guys seen our stats are down from last week?
Really?
Yeah, our listenership with the way down.
Well, what happened?
I don't know, but when I look at the oh, hang on. Oh no, episode 102A is way down.
What's 102A?
That was Jabs.
You arseholes. No, it's it's also.
You're listening to the Host Unknown podcast.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening from wherever you are joining us. And welcome, one and all, to episode 103 of the Host Unknown podcast.
104.
Not 104. Don't stop confusing me. We've already had to start this once already. Gentlemen, how the devil are we? Jav, how are you? How are you after your little solo career that your daughter called pathetic?
Glad you could join us, Jav.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm glad you could finally, like, you know, dry up your tears from your leaving party at your old job. And, you know, you can finally arrange your lives around my schedule, which, let's be honest, is the most important schedule of the three of us right now. So, yeah, it's been...
We took a two-week break around your schedule, man. Come on.
You know what? It's funny. You make that daughter comment. And just to add a bit of commentary, color it a bit for the listeners. Me and my daughter had a bit of a disagreement over how certain things should be done, and she was doing it her way, and I said, that's quite pathetic, to which she retorted, you know what's really pathetic? Doing a podcast on your own. And, so I've spent the last 3 days in A&E getting my burns tended to.
We like your daughter. Oh, dear. So how have you been, Jeff, since you were off gallivanting last time?
Very good. Very good, thank you. You know, it's nice to be gallivanting again, you know? Even last time I got to the airport and as I cleared security in record time.
Tied your trousers back on.
In record time, yeah, 3.5 hours actually. It just felt like so nice. It felt like, oh, this is different. It's like a weight lifted. It's like not in my home office. I'm surrounded by real people. And it just felt so nice. It's just the little things. I just can't really pinpoint exactly what it is, but it's just so nice to be out and about.
It's nice being around people. I've been working in London the last few weeks since I started my new job, and it just strikes me every now and then how weird it is to have all these people around.
Yeah. Particularly at lunchtime when you're like, dude, come on, why are you standing so close? Why are you leaning over me?
Yeah. Yes. Get back. 1 meter is not enough. And Andy, what about you? How have you been?
Not too bad at all. Started a new job. Lots of very clever people. I'm certainly not the smartest person in any room that I've been in.
You know how they all take their tea now.
And now I know how they all take their tea. Well, I've got it written down, obviously, because I couldn't do it, you know, from memory. I'm not that good.
Yeah, not being the smartest person in the room.
Exactly. Hopefully, in 6 months' time, I'll memorize all 7 of them. So, keep plugging away. But no, as you say, it's been actually really good getting back into the office. Not that I wasn't traveling into the office before, it's just that now I'm in kind of every day. And it's like the whole routine again. It's like just been switching off at the end of the day, I think, is what I really missed, is that, you know, I pack up my laptop, come home and that's it. Whereas before, working from home, it's like the machine's always on. You know,
drifts back into the to the desk.
Yes, it was on 24/7, like literally just go downstairs, grab some food, come back up, sit down, just keep going, leave stuff open. Whereas now it's like, no, shutting down at the end of every day. And, very strange.
Mm.
But how's your week, Mr. Birthday Boy?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I'm the big 5'1". God, dear me, that is
5'1" what? 5'15", 5'16", what?
Oh, if I was, I'd have so many stories to tell.
But, like you don't, man.
We've only got 40 minutes or so. No, it was good. I didn't celebrate my birthday on the day because I was in the office
working.
And it was
working.
Yeah, and it was the day before I was presenting to our, you know, big important client security panel thing. So that was a big deal to get right. But yeah, going out tonight for a Ruby with the family,
nice.
And then I'm going to go to the cinema. So taking it nice and easy. But yeah, it's been good. It's been a busy week. Couple of breakthroughs. Had to cancel a couple of the breakthroughs that I had the previous week because new information has come to light. So yeah, like you, not feeling particularly smart in the room at the moment.
Come to light. Yeah, something called Log4j.
Yeah.
That turns out you may be impacted by
hot bleed.
We came across this tool. I came across this tool and I thought, I can use it for X. I don't want to give away what I'm, you know, necessarily what I'm doing. I can use this for X. And everybody around me said, yes, that's a great place. So we can all do that. And then I finally found somebody who knew, you know, who was one of the sort of system owners. He said, you absolutely should not be using it for that.
Tom, if
spent 2 days on
you know,
this.
Tom, if you'd ever been to a technical course, like say a SANS course or something,
I'd be a poor
and
man.
Develop some skills. You might have understood that from day one, but okay. Who am I to argue CISOs need to have some level of technical knowledge?
No. I was just identifying a tool for someone else to sort out. I wasn't doing anything with that. CISO, you know. Anyway, talking of lack of technical knowledge, let's see what we've got coming up for you today. This Week in InfoSec takes a stroll down InfoSec memory lane, as usual. We couldn't find a particularly funny byline to put in there. Rant of the Week is all about, won't somebody think of the children? Billy Big Balls is a story about sound investment advice from the Chinese government. Industry News brings us the latest and greatest security news stories from around the world. And Tweet of the Week is an insight into the difference between good coding and bad coding. And so, without further ado, we go to the favourite part of our show, the part of our show that we call
This Week in InfoSec.
It is that part of the show where we take a stroll down InfoSec memory lane with content liberated from the Today in InfoSec Twitter account or further afield. So our first story takes us back a mere 16 years to the 9th of May 2006 when Jensen James Anchieta became the first person to be charged for controlling a botnet. He had hijacked around 500,000 computers and was sentenced to 57 months in prison, forfeiture of a 1993 BMW and $58,000 in profit, and restitution of $15,000. So this guy, he attended high school till like 2001, where he dropped out, as all good hackers with these kind of stories that get caught do. And around 2004, he started to work with botnets after discovering RxBot, which was just a common computer worm that could spread through his net of infected computers. And so he hijacked somewhere in the area of 500,000 computer systems. And the US Attorney's Office in Los Angeles said that, you know, this not only affected computers like the one in your home, but it allowed him to and others to orchestrate large scale attacks. And so he was actually captured, as so many of them in the old days were, during this elaborate sting operation when the FBI agents actually lured him into their local office on the pretext of collecting computer equipment. So it's almost like, you know, he kind of walked into this one. And funny enough, that arrest was actually part of something called Operation Bot Roast, which, you know, it's just brilliant to be taken down by something like that is not so good for the credibility. However, yeah, it was only a charge. I mean, we hear about, you know, mass scale botnets and DDoS, and, you know, you think going back as far as Yahoo, eBay, and all those ones that were, you know, DOSed in the early 2000s. It's only 2006 the first person was charged, which
And the thing that surprised me, he got basically 5 years in prison.
Yeah.
5 years. And it's interesting to find out, you know, quite how much he made, because 58,000 is not a vast amount by any stretch.
That's like minimum wage for 5 years he made.
Well, it is, right? It is. And it's... It seems 5 years seems to be an awful lot, which I think says a lot about the US sort of judiciary system, in the sense that the levels of sentencing seem to be completely out of whack. It's like we watched that documentaries. I can't remember what it's called now, but it's about the rise of Anonymous, etc. And people there were facing, you know, sentences of 99 years and things for basically pressing a button on the loik.exe on that thing. And it's like, it's so completely screwed up.
Yeah.
And yet you got people, you know, who fixed Enron and stuff like that, just doing a few years.
House arrest for 12 months. Yeah.
That quite literally destroyed lives and resulted in people's, you know, untimely deaths.
Yeah.
You know, it's I find computer crime seems to attract very disproportionate sentencing.
Yeah, indeed.
It does. I think it works both ways. I think especially like back in the early days, they were trying to make an example, because there was this underlying mentality like if we're hard on them now, that should deter others from walking down this path. And clearly that worked, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's just like the US, you know, the approach to tackle high rising gun rates is to arm more people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's arm the teachers as well.
That's right, and design wonky corridors and wider doors, or is it narrower doors? I can't remember.
Oh well,
bulletproof clipboards.
Yeah. And that's our second story. Takes us back 33 years to the 12th of May 1989, when the marijuana virus crippled the Chisholm Institute of Technology's computer network. So named because it displayed a message on computer screens which read, "The system is stoned. Legalize marijuana." And what I so whilst, you know, quite a funny event back in 1989, what I love about this was the fact that it was reported in the paper 3 weeks after it occurred, because back then, you know, people would hear about it, and you know, by the time they hear about it, they say, "Well, that sounds like an interesting story to post." But a quote from Mr. Greg Tucker, a senior lecturer in law at the Davidson Business School, said the institute have had to buy commercial debugging kits costing $40 for each of its 100 microcomputers, which just to sort of date when this happened. But Miss Tucker said there was...
Stick it on a floppy and move it from one machine to the next, and that's $40.
Well, I think that's how they got into that problem in the first place, right?
Well, yeah.
But he said there's still a great cost to the institute in inconvenience because students could not use the microcomputers. And so it goes on to say, you know, the virus which struck 3 weeks ago is under control. And then obviously, as all good papers go, and it goes to explain what a virus is, a self-propagating computer program that remains dormant as it infects computer after computer.
Blimey, you sound just like Graham.
I know. That's exactly what I was thinking.
We love you, Graham. Yeah. Let us know if you want to sponsor.
Not now, Muttley. Alas. And in fact, Graham probably wrote this article back then.
He probably did, actually.
I didn't check who did write it, but sources in the show notes.
Ah, very good. Very good. Yeah, 12th of May 1989. Blimey, that was the age of... That was 5 1/4 inch floppy disks when they really were floppy.
I wasn't born at that time, I wouldn't know.
Yeah,
shush, little child. But yeah, wow, fascinating stuff. Thank you very much, Andy, for this week's.
This week in InfoCert.
You're listening to the Host Unknown podcast. Bubblegum for the brain.
All right, let's move swiftly on to the traditionally angry part of the show, the part of the show that we like to call...
Listen up!
Rant of the week.
It's time to mother rage!
Now, this story, I have actually read something about
this. Oh, wow.
So I'm not going into this completely blind. So the headline, Europe proposes tackling child abuse by killing privacy and strong encryption. So you may have heard, you know, probably know from a few months ago, a number of months ago, about Apple's attempt to intercept and identify child sexual abuse material, CSAM.
By going through your photos.
Exactly. By looking at photos on your device, etc., and it hit a bit of a roadblock. And you know, whilst everybody, I'm sure, is absolutely in support of trying to stop, you know, CSAM, etc., it's the way it was done was not sort of technically proven, and would have resulted in a bunch of privacy issues. Well, the EU, and this is one of the few times where actually I think the EU has got it wrong on privacy. The EU is taking this forwards. And the bottom line is what they're suggesting is that there is a backdoor into encryption systems such that they can then be looking into all online hosting services, interpersonal communication services such as messaging apps, app stores, internet access providers, allowing them to search for child sexual abuse material. This is a real problem, and this is something the UK government has been trying to do as well, and it's been, you know, seen a huge amount of pushback. And frankly, this is not the right way to do it. The best analogy I heard for this is it's the equivalent of the government saying to you, we want to search your house for child sexual abuse material. And in order to do so, we request that you put your key under your doormat. Now, don't tell anybody that you've put your key under the doormat. Don't let anybody else get access to that key that's under your doormat. Only we will use that key, and we promise not to tell anybody else that that key is under that doormat. And that's pretty dangerous, you know, and, you know, not all analogies are effective. But I think the reality is that having some kind of backdoor into your encryption systems opens up the possibility that anybody can get in, and that vast amounts of damage can be done by, you know, criminals getting access to your systems, basically looking under the doormat because they know that there's going to be a key there. And using it to unlock your sort of digital life. So knowing that all of your systems have a back door actually gives criminals an opportunity to search for said back door and work out how they can access it. This breaks everything. It breaks trust in the internet. It breaks trust in banking and all other financial systems, etc. And yet this is being pushed further and further forwards. And for me, this is more about political vote grabbing than anything else. Or at least it certainly was in the UK. But to see an organisation like the EU pushing this is really very, very concerning.
But surely this is one of those situations where if you've got nothing to hide, you've got nothing to be worried about.
I don't have anything to hide. Except for the stuff that I don't want the government to know about, or two, that I don't want anybody else knowing about, because it's the keys to my bank accounts, it's my internet search history, it's my you know, all that sort of stuff, right? If you want access to it, come and get it through regular legal means, you know, and through, you know, search warrants or whatever the European equivalent is.
But that takes time. We need to. It's too long. People could be deleting
stuff. I want to see this now.
By the time we get those warrants, people could be deleting incriminating evidence. Or also, you know, they may. We don't want to alert them to the fact that we're going to be looking. We need the element of surprise.
Well, the fact that most of this this snooping can be done without even alerting the individual in the first place, if there is a legal basis for it, is entirely possible. I mean, come on, you know, This is just bad news all around, I think. We end up losing trust everywhere. Is this the second time you're agreeing with me on today's show, Jeff?
Maybe, maybe not. But what really annoys me about this is with any of these kind of proposals, they always start with, we're doing it to tackle child abuse. Yeah, and because they know that's a topic that is just impossible. No one can say, oh no. So you agree with child abuse? What are you hiding? And we know it doesn't stop there. It starts with that, then it goes into everything else. It's like, oh, we think you might have a speeding ticket. Let's like look into all of your telemetry data on your phone and see what speed you were doing according to Google Maps or whatever. It's just such a slippery slope, and it's terrible.
Well, it's a big drop as well. It's not like it's a slow descent into the chaos that you mentioned. The mere fact that there is a backdoor in there puts your banking systems at risk, right? The encrypted traffic between you and your bank. If that's going to have a backdoor in it, someone's going to find it. Someone who shouldn't find it, who shouldn't have access to it, will have access to it because they've been tipped off by the fact that it's published in law and in public, that there is a backdoor there.
Yeah.
It's a bit, what was it? Was it that the Patriots chip or something like that that the US tried to put in place?
Yeah, was it the Clipper chip or something?
Clipper chip, yeah, that's right. The thing that was going to basically, every computer had to have one and it was going to unencrypt, your data, but only for the government. And then it was immediately broken, wasn't it? And just abandoned the clip.
This is going back sometime, though, isn't it? This was.
Yeah, I know. We should do a This Week in Info.
Yeah. If only we had a section that spoke about old historical things in InfoSec.
If only we had a host unknown monkey that could go and do that.
Do you know what? I will put it into the show notes around June 24th, 1999, around June 24th.
All right, so we've only got 5 weeks to wait, 5-6 weeks to wait.
Perfect. And we can then talk about the Clinton administration as well, because
Clinton. Yeah, so it was the late 80s, wasn't it? 80s,
90s, 1998.
Yeah, wow. And then we can talk about illegal immigrants being tattooed with encryption keys so they can't be deported and stuff like that. this is just another, and so many of our profession are against this, and many, many of our friends of the show are absolutely against this. We're just very often made out to be the sort of, the screaming masses rather than the sensible Daily Mail reading, citizens of our world. Frankly, this is just such a bad thing to do. And it's, I think it really does qualify. You can tell how much it annoys me because I'm actually not getting, I don't sound that annoyed. It's that kind of seething. Absolutely. Resigned to just the stupidity and the hubris of people wanting to do things like this. It's killing me. It's killing me, man.
Rant of the week. This is the Host Unknown podcast, the couch potato of InfoSec broadcasting.
Wow, so we've had the bubble gum and the couch potato. I wonder what food group we'll have at the next one.
Haribos.
Quick, Andy, create a jingle with Haribos in it.
Consider it done. Kids and grown-ups love it so.
It's now time for Billy Big Balls.
So this one kind of trails the rant in a way. Whilst the EU is saying think of the kids, China is actually doing something for its kids. It wants its youth to stop giving live streamers money. So China has an internet regulator, the Cyberspace Administration of China.
They must be kind of redundant, right? After the government does.
Yeah, that's right. Easiest job ever.
No. Right, it's called the Cyberspace Administration of China, or CAC, for as the acronym goes. But they have published guidelines to stop miners from giving tips or other forms of payments to live streamers.
Well, they should be underground digging out the coal and stuff, right? Rather than exactly. going on live streams.
Those iPhones ain't going to make themselves, kids.
No. So,
they don't want them watching after 10 p.m. and they don't want them live streaming themselves. And actually, I think this is quite sensible advice. I mean, why would you want...
God, you're such a communist, Jeff.
It's our internet. Yeah, you say as if it was a slur. I take it as a compliment. Thank you, Tosh. So they're asking website platforms must not develop apps that attract miners to tip or induce miners to give gifts. This is quite interesting. So that's quite like a broad statement, but you think about how a lot of these platforms are actually designed. I mean, just look at TikTok's algorithm, something that Andy is very familiar with.
I am familiar with the application you refer to as TikTok.
But... And I believe my learned colleague, Mr. Malik, is in a greenhouse throwing stones.
Yes. Look, I think you get more hits on your TikTok channel videos than you do on your YouTube videos these days.
It's surprising. You even comment on my TikTok videos. You never commented on my YouTube videos, Andy.
It's because he's never seen your YouTube videos.
It's all about the circles I hang in, man.
Yeah. But, you know, it's like all these platforms are there to like induce people to stay there for longer, and the algorithm works out what your interests are, and you know, a couple of days of training, and it's like, booyah, it knows you better than you know yourself. Yeah. So, you know, adapting that so it doesn't target miners is sort of like counterintuitive for a lot of these developers. But, you know, it is what it is. And I think there is a lot to be said about protecting the mental health of, I suppose, everyone, but especially of miners whose minds are still forming and developing. And if they get addicted to certain platforms, and then if they, from a young age, like Andy, get addicted to giving tips for services or things that they enjoy, then...
Hey, I'm a good tipper. What can I say?
That can...
But just the tip. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? People tell me you shouldn't tip people in McDonald's, but what the hell? They're bringing food, right?
Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's a good... move. It is a big balls move, because you are literally going against what all these platforms are designed for, what these live streamers stream for. But, you know, there needs to be some protection put in place for these miners. And, like, you know, obviously it's not their money. They're probably stealing money from their parents or getting them to top up their credit card or something like that. I think this is a good example of how you protect kids. You don't do it by saying, you know what, we want all these live streaming platforms to give us a back door into their system so that we can see which kids are using or abusing the system.
I've seen Andy's OnlyFans, and there's plenty of back doors in that.
Thank you, Tom. You're still my biggest supporter.
Those are just the folds on his back.
Oh, we went there. I don't know. I find this interesting that in China they've published guidelines. They've not actually just locked things down, which is, you know, if you were to go back, you know, 20 years, the administration that were there, that it would just have been stopped, right? I mean, the Great Firewall of China is a thing, but, you know, the fact that they have a, you know, the cyberspace administration of China, and we joked about it, right? But it does show that there has to be some kind of loosening of things going on in order for them to publish this guidance and make it only guidance.
Yeah, but to be fair, in China, people are going to obey it.
But this thing about, you know, not watching after 10 p.m., that reminds me of the reason why we, you know, we had licensing laws and, you know, pubs closed at 11 and things like that. It was because that was the result of, was it the First World War, I think it was? And they didn't want the workers who were, you know, building and making munitions getting pissed up at night and being late for work. So, because there weren't any laws for when pubs should close. So that's why they created licensing laws, so that the working class would go out and make more shell casings for the war effort.
That's brilliant. And all that did was create a culture in the UK of binge drinking. Where people
lining them up when the bell went.
Yeah.
So last between... story is, oh, yeah, exactly. He'll have 6 pints. And he'll have 6 vodka, double yeah. vodkas.
And that's why, you know, you go to, remember going to Europe in sort of, you know, sort of late 90s, early 2000s, they were just stunned that, you know, British people would just get there, order as many drinks as they could early in the evening and just keep ploughing through, expecting everything to shut at 11.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I remember being in Argentina in the, when was it, the very early 90s.
Auckland Walls?
Yeah, I was going to say. Beat me to it.
No, no, not that far. No, it was only eight or nine years afterwards. No, in fact, it was 8 years afterwards. But and I was staying with my some of my family over there, and some of the younger, or you know, people my age, late teenagers, said, we're going to go out to a nightclub tonight. Oh, great. Okay, cool. And then the family I was with said, we're going to have dinner tonight.
Yeah.
You know, and they ate dinner late there at sort of like, you know, 9 plus 10 o'clock. And I said, oh, no, but we're going out. Afterward, you know, we're going out tonight. So, I don't know, they'll be around afterwards. So we had dinner, started at 9 o'clock, finished at midnight. Those guys came over, and we hit the nightclub at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just getting started. It was bizarre. Utterly bizarre. I couldn't work it out. Anyway, thank you, Jav, for this week's
Billy Big Balls of the Week. Are you outraged that Host Unknown was voted the most entertaining content coming out of Europe? We read all complaints sent to our Reddit channel on r/smashingsecurity.
You thank me, Tom, but I go through my section and we end up, instead of like talking about Billy Big Balls, we end up talking about your teenage nightclubbing habits. So,
well, we can talk about yours if you want.
No, it's perfectly fine, actually.
Why, does your mother listen as well?
No.
Oh, dear me.
Speaking of which, I got an email from your mother the other day, Tom.
Oh, really? Was it a sponsorship? I hope so.
It wasn't a sponsorship, but this is how loving she is. She sent me an email and said, like, don't forget to wish Tom a happy birthday today.
Oh.
That's a very kind thing to do.
That it is.
I mean, like, maybe she sent it to all four of your friends, but I don't know. But it's.
I did get one as well. Don't worry.
Oh, I was going to say. Well, why did you get one, Andy?
I got it after I'd already wished you a happy birthday, Tom.
Yeah.
Yes. It was just after. After you reminded
us. Just after your oh shit moment.
Yes.
It was as I was looking at the date on my calendar.
Oh, that's very nice. Well, she published on Facebook a picture of me.
Yeah,
well,
she screenshot that picture and sent that to me as well.
Oh, did she?
Yes, it was on the email.
I tell you what, I tell you what, I'll add it into when we publish the blog post. I'll put it into the tweet. How's that?
Beautiful blonde locks. You have,
I am gorgeous. I am utterly gorgeous.
You are. Yeah,
and back then I was even more gorgeous. Let's face it.
You had those
not
cute,
bad for Victorian
cheeks.
Baby. Yeah,
I know.
Oh man, that was a very, very long time ago. And talking of time, see what I did there. what time is it, Andy?
It is that time of the show where we head over to our news sources over the InfoSec PA Newswire, who have been very busy bringing us the latest and greatest security news from around the globe.
Industry news.
I think next time you need to take a bigger breath.
Yeah.
US government offers $15 million reward for info on Conti actors.
Industry news.
Researchers find 31,000 FTSE 100 logins on dark web.
Industry news.
London police warn of crypto muggings. Report.
Industry news.
Treasury sanctions crypto firm after North Korea's 620 $20 million heist.
Industry news.
Five Eyes nations issue new supply chain security advisory.
Industry news.
Microsoft. Ransomware relies on the gig economy.
Industry news.
Trustpilot forced to delete millions of fake reviews in 2021.
Industry news.
Government initiative promises rapid blocking of scam sites.
Industry news.
Costa Rica declares national emergency following Conti cyber attack.
Industry news.
And that was this week's
industry news.
Huge if true.
Huge if true.
Huge. Although it did take us a bit of effort to get those out, I have to say.
It did.
we were struggling there today.
Do you know what? Something was off with the timing. It wasn't getting us into a rhythm there.
Yeah.
Because Tom ruined it from the get-go. He
was slow on the button, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was like, oh, take a bigger breath, Andy, yeah, and then...
Don't say slow on the button. I edit out some of those gaps, you know.
You know, there is a story I read this week, and it's not on here, but I thought it was just worth mentioning. There was a flight that was about to leave Israel to go to Turkey. And a whole bunch of passengers got airdropped photos of plane crashes.
Oh, bloody hell.
What? Oh, yeah. I didn't read that. No, I read about some guy had to land a plane after the pilot passed out or something.
No, not that one. Not
was it was the co-pilot?
No, this is a different story. So,
no, it wasn't the co-pilot.
Was it the autopilot?
Some young guy.
Big inflatable autopilot. That.
Yeah, that's right.
No, so this is real. So a bunch of passengers on the plane, all iPhone users, of course, they received airdropped pictures of, like, plane crashes and everything and... what have you. There's like several pictures sent. So panic ensued, and the pilot actually brought the plane back. And
good. It's the right thing to do as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, come on. It's just a bit of bant. You know, there's some guy at the front who's...
Bant. Does that go in the official report?
Yeah.
It's just a bit of bant with a Z.
Come on. Some passenger airdrops plane crash pictures to everyone else on board who is accepting... you know, photos from unverified sources.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
They want to turn a plane around. Come on, there's no need for that.
I mean, how different is it from, like, someone just saying to the air hostess, we're going to crash today, and or the pilot, it's...
Yeah, or I've got a bomb. What are they going to do? They're going to turn around. They're going to
exactly.
land.
Exactly. It's the same. You've got to take every threat or perceived threat seriously. Oh, on
it's not the same at all.
I know. You
what do you mean it's not? There's, of course, it's a strongly inferred threat.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So apparently they did hold two young Israeli men for questioning. It had to be young men, didn't it? It was like...
Well, we're lucky they weren't sending pictures of their dicks, let's face it.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, no, I thought it was really funny. It's like, is this classified as a cyber attack, in quotes? Or is it just someone abusing some functionality? But it's
well, I think the functionality is such a commodity now because, you know, I'm sure Android has its own equivalent and all that sort of thing. It's less a cyber attack and more a fake terrorist attack at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think people, because it's like as Mike Tyson said, people have gotten all too comfortable talking shit from behind a keyboard without getting punched in the face for it.
Or behind his first class seat.
Yes, yes. But then he got punched in the face.
Yeah,
for
then
it,
he got punched in the face. Yeah, exactly.
So I think there's this like disconnect in people's minds between what they do on a digital device and what actually happens in real life.
Yeah.
And hopefully, getting banged up in a cell for a few hours can sober some people up.
Well, so it's interesting they went after the Israeli guys because Apple doesn't store any logs of who sent you, who airdropped you photos. There's no way of tracking who did that.
They probably They probably just logged everyone's
phone. Racially profiled the people on the flight who...
Who has sent the file. It may not store it, but you see file sent from...
Except file from Israeli guys sitting in seat 4B.
But the plane was leaving from Israel, so the chances are there were going to be a whole bunch of Israelis on the flight as it is, you know?
Oh, dear. I don't know. Definitely.
Or maybe the captain said, look, we are not going to land unless one of you...
Yeah.
Steps forward and takes the blame for this. Otherwise, you're all not going to land.
I've got nowhere to be, so I can stay in the air all day.
I can stay here all day. Oh, dear. Well, it's interesting we spent most of our time talking about a story that's not in the industry news.
Yes. Well, the other one, I guess it was kind of a Billy Big Balls move, but it was an untrained passenger lands a Florida plane after the pilot falls ill.
Where was the co-pilot?
I don't think there was a co-pilot. Oh, it's a Cessna. So it was flying from Florida to the Bahamas when the captain said he wasn't feeling too, or the pilot said he wasn't feeling too well, according to the FAA logs. And then he fell against the controls, putting the small aircraft into a nosedive.
Wow.
There's a recording of the onboard conversation between the passenger, Mr. Harrison, and air traffic control.
Does it start with fuck?
I don't know if they start. He says, I've got a serious situation here. My pilot has gone incoherent and I have no idea how to fly the plane. Brilliant. No, he says, 333 Lima Delta, Roger, what's your position? So I've no fucking idea.
Yeah,
I can see the coast of Florida.
I'm in the air.
Yeah. But then they talked him down. And he landed successfully.
So it just goes to show pilots are just overrated. It can't be that hard.
Yeah.
Just lazy pilot falling asleep halfway through his flight.
Although I have seen, there's some prank videos where, like, on these small planes, the pilot pretends to pass out. They normally mates with the guy. And then you see the guy panic. As his soul exits their body.
I find those very unfunny.
They are
very unfunny.
So you're the type of guy that wouldn't laugh at being airdropped a picture of a bomb of planes being blown up as we're about to take
off. It's a threat. It's like, I remember one time I was driving, I was a passenger in a friend's car and I fell asleep and I woke up to him suddenly breaking and screaming.
That's always a classic.
What a twat.
It's even funnier if you're driving up behind a car that's been towed, that's facing you.
I don't know why I laugh, because what a twat.
Oh, dear.
The actual story that is on here that I think is interesting, is this the first case of a cyber attack crippling a country, Costa Rica?
I believe so. Well, certainly having a big impact on it, yeah. So, I mean,
well,
even the US.
A national emergency is, you know, that's considered a big deal, right?
Yeah. And even the US are putting money up to find the people who are responsible.
Yeah. Well, they outsource a lot to Costa Rica, don't they?
So certainly do, yeah.
You know, it's like losing your call centre in India. It's a big deal. Yeah. Shocking. Shocking. Anyway, thank you, folks. That was this week's
industry news.
This is the Host Unknown podcast, home of Billy Big Ball Energy.
Well, we are coming up against it. And so, therefore, we're going to close the show with this week's
Tweet of the Week.
And we always play that one twice.
Tweet of the Week.
And I shall take this one home. It is a tweet from Fembot on Twitter, who has posted a picture of a, I think it's a slide that was taken, obviously, at some sort of presentation.
It looks like a slide, doesn't
it? Yeah, and it's about the CS4620 intelligence systems. And there's a big quote on there which says, changing random stuff until your program works is hacky and bad coding practice. But if you do it fast enough, it is machine learning and pays four times your current salary.
is brilliant. That is so true. Machine learning is just getting it wrong 99 times out of 100.
Yeah.
You know, Chihuahua or croissant? Right, that's what it is.
Oh, dear. That's what, oh, yeah, I was like, the other one, was it jam or terrorist? That's the other one.
Jam or terrorist?
Have you not seen that
What's
one?
What's that?
Oh, it's like the, you know, it looks like a picnic table. You know, what's the checkered?
Gingham.
Gingham, that's it, yeah. And so it's like, yeah, either gingham lids or people wearing sort of, you know, headscarves, gingham headscarves.
I can't
try to get the machine to tell the difference.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, not that there's any bias in AI and machine learning
no,
at all,
none
is there?
Whatsoever. None whatsoever.
Yeah, just next time you go to the airport, Jav, don't buy any jam in the Harrods shop.
Harrods. I mean, like, I'm waiting for there to be an Aldi in the airport so I can actually finally buy some stuff. No, but you know, it's like a few years ago, Davy Ottenheimer done a keynote at B-Sides Vegas, and it was all about bias in AI, and it was a really good talk. I'll find the link to the talk, and we can put it in the show notes, because that is, I think, recommended listening for anyone interested in the topic.
That was this week's
Tweet of the Week.
And so we come to within minutes of Andy's next meeting at his new job. We've just brought the show in time. General Jav, thank you very much for this week.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for scheduling it around my schedule. Thank you.
We scheduled it around your availability last week. You just didn't turn up.
Well, you know what? It's like, you know, like Bruce Lee says, like, you pour the water into the cup, it becomes the cup. You be like water, my friend. Things change, fires need to be put out, you know, things take priority. Yes,
what?
Exactly.
It's Andy, I think he's had a stroke. I think he's like just
medical
saying
help
random
is on
words
his way, Jeff. Don't
and
worry.
Thinking it is. Andy, thank you very much, sir.
Stay secure, my friends.
Stay secure.
Stealing my lines.
You've been listening to the Host Unknown podcast. If you enjoyed what you heard, comment and subscribe. If you hated it, please leave your best insults on our Reddit channel.
Worst episode ever.
r/smashing security.
This is definitely the episode where Jav crashes the most.
He does. That's the thing, right? He's a part-timer. He shows up every now and then. He's basically worse than a contractor.
When you hear 102A, that was such a beautiful episode. No crashing of jingles. No one talking over me.
Because you're
just
the only one on it.
No, you got the wrong jingles, though, as I recall.
I didn't even listen to it.
One of them was wrong. I couldn't find the Today in InfoSec jingle, so I just played one of the other ones that I did. But other than that, they were all perfect.
All you did was read out the show notes that Andy wrote.
And how was that different from what we've just done today?
You didn't even do something different. You just basically did the same show, but with you agreeing with yourself.
I added a Today in InfoSec, which you guys didn't do.
Oh, sorry.
So it's a far more quality show.
Right, I'm out of here. I'll speak to you later. Right.
Yeah, go knock them dead, Andy. Make sure that cup of tea is perfect.